From KXCI in Tucson, you are listening to the Captain's Log Project. I'm Amy A. Our mission is to connect with our community during this time of social distancing. This year, on the Captain's Log, you'll hear voices from our community near and far about how they're doing, music that resonates, tributes to those living and gone, and more, all with our standard spacey music, Star Trekery, and a dose of hope. We want to hear your voice and your perspective on life during COVID-19. Now it's easier than ever to submit your Captain's Log for our show. You can simply call 520-222-8652 and leave your captain's log as a voicemail for us. That's 520-222-8652. Before you do, please visit kxci.org/programs and click on the Captain's Log Project for further instructions, or email me at amya@kxci.org. Captain's Log, April 11th, 2021. Amy A. The air smells like flowers. The mornings are cool, and the increasingly longer days get warmer and warmer. We in Tucson have experienced over a year of pandemic life, quarantining, social distancing, mask wearing, and now the steady stream of getting our vaccines. The first shot, then the second shot. Life seems more hopeful now. Vaccinated friends hugging their parents for the first time in a year. The possibility of a vaccine for children coming. Yet it is still unclear what the new normal will be. Time will tell. Life does go on. And important work in our communities still need doing. My guest today, CJ Boyd, can attest to this. CJ, a traveling musician turned political activist, is currently heading up Tucson's Fight for 15 movement. You'll hear all about that, plus what it's like working and dating in a pandemic, and of course, music. Let's listen in.
My name is CJ Boyd. I am a recent Tucson transplant. I just moved here back in November 2020. And these days I am the campaign manager of the Tucson Fight for 15 campaign here. We're trying to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour citywide. I'm only recently able to do politics full time. I worked on a campaign last year in Texas. Before that, I was a full-time touring musician. I spent 12 years living out of my van, just on the road permanently for that time. So it's been a big shift, but a really wonderful shift. I've always loved Tucson. I've come through many times and played shows and always loved the community here. Just, I have really lovely friends here as well. One of my best friends lives here. She's a nurse over at St. Mary's and heavily involved in the union there. And you know, part of it is, to be honest, after a year of pretty much total isolation. I had moved to Texas for a job, not because I knew anybody there or had any kind of friends there beforehand. And I met some wonderful folks through the campaign work that I did there. But after being really alone for a year, I was pretty eager to live in a place where I actually had some community, some dear friends. Also was excited to live in a in a house with a porch where I could hang out with people at a safe distance. I was living in an apartment before. It was like we could kind of hang out occasionally, but didn't really work that great. For a long time, I've gone back and forth between, you know, living in places that are more convenient for a left-leaning person like myself, and then sometimes feeling like, well, there's a lot of work to be done, you know, all over the country. So don't just go where it's convenient. Go where the work is being done. And there's amazing organizers in Texas and much of the South trying to fight the conservative powers there. That said, and much respect to those folks, during a pandemic, it becomes really clear, like, this isn't just a preference. Like, these people will kill you. They were people that don't care if you live or die and think the economy is more important than people living. And it was really stressful. It got really, really stressful knowing that every level of government where I was living, and I was in a little suburb outside of Dallas, but everyone at the city level, at the county level, at the state level was willing to just let people die with no regard for science or for compassion. I was excited to move someplace where, granted, Arizona's a mixed bag and there's obviously Republican control of the state house here, and there's Republican governor and things, but the Tucson is actually run entirely by Democrats. Everyone on the city council here is Democrat, and it's Tucson being a, like, pretty liberal city. Yeah, I was eager to just go somewhere where there wasn't going to be the same level of just fear, like real concern about my well-being. When I was in Texas, I just didn't know anyone in my town. Even like the candidate that I was working with was in probably like 20 minutes away, like in a nearby town. The campaign manager was also like in a different town. I think once COVID hit, also just it just meant that we didn't all meet up in the same place and we were sort of spread out. And then I didn't really, like I said, I didn't have any friends outside of that job. So I literally didn't touch another human being for months at a time or like come into any kind of contact other than like I'd leave palm cards out for volunteers and they'd just be like in a milk crate outside my door and they would come get them, or someone would need yard signs and I'd leave them outside my door. And we had it that was our interaction. It was just texting, and occasionally like there would be a large delivery of something, I'd have to go and like help somebody move something. I had one friend actually from Flagstaff who came through. She was driving to see her parents. She was gonna be flying, and then when COVID hit, that got canceled. And after a few months was like, well, I think I'm gonna just drive out and see my mom like on her birthday or something. And she stopped through, and that was like literally my only human contact for the period between March and November. So I'm the campaign manager now for Tucson Fight for 15. One of the things we do is door to door, where, you know, we knock on your door, we take a step back. We're not going to be right up in somebody's face, and we tell them what we're doing, and we hand them the clipboard with the petition on it, and they sign it, and they're at their house, so they can go wash their hands right afterwards. There's not a real danger there if both people are masked, and anybody who's not answering their door masked anymore, I tell my volunteers to watch out for them. You know, generally, I know I keep an extra mask on my doorknob, you know, just in case there's not one in my pocket at the time. Most people, that's how they answer the door. You know, you answer it masked, talk to whoever it is. Of course, we expect like there's going to be some pushback, and there's going to be people who feel like, hey, that's not really responsible to do right now. But I think, based on what we know now with the science, I think that response is more based on a kind of PTSD, which is very understandable, that like we still haven't fully come to terms with what a catastrophe this whole thing has been. And so I understand people being overly safe. I don't blame them, but I think that this is too important. Not, you know, we're not going door to door, you know, selling things. You know, we're not going door to door just to bother people. We're doing something that's really important. And the fact is, you know, a lot of people's lives have been really impacted throughout this pandemic. And low wage workers, there's so many low wage workers who are not getting hazard pay, that have real crises, that are put out of work, and then even though they go back to work, they have back rent, they owe, you know, months of rent in the past. So helping low wage workers is, to me, it's just too important not to do it now that we know that there's not a considerable danger in doing things the way we're doing them. And I should say, one of the other things that we do is when we go door to door, for folks who don't answer, if they're not home or whatever, we leave flyers at their door for events that we're having. And with the events, they're not, despite what some of our detractors might say, they're not super spreader events, because what we do is we'll set up in a park for like 6 hours, and signing the petition takes about 30 seconds. And so basically we'll make ourselves available so that people can come by anytime between, say, noon and 6 is what we've been doing so far. We may end up changing that as the heat gets more of an issue. But, you know, we'll be out there for 6 hours. There's never more than like 2 or 3 people there at the same time. Usually it's about one person at a time. On an ideal day, it's just sort of a steady stream. Every 5 minutes or so, somebody shows up. Occasionally a few people show up at the same time, but it's never been more than like 3 at the same time. So and they're in a park, it's outdoors, there's plenty of space to stay socially distant. There's no reason for anybody to be coming into direct contact with each other. So what we're doing is safe, but still effective, and making sure that we can get the signatures that we need. In a lot of ways, there's a lot of parallels between being a DIY musician and being a grassroots organizer. You know, you get to meet people, and you get to meet people kind of doing great things that you respect them for and love them for. And so it's still very like love oriented. I love that about it. So yeah, it's a thing I'm happy to do. It was time for me to make a change, and I'm glad I did. I have a huge music collection. I'm a very, very diverse music taste, but I will go through these periods where this one album or this one artist is like all I want to deal with. I don't want to hear anything else. And I think I'm trying to remember what month it was, but it was kind of early in the pandemic. Fiona Apple put out a new record that blew my mind. And I've always liked Fiona Apple a bit, but I've never been like a huge fan. I was like, oh yeah, she's good. She's, yeah, great. There was some stuff of hers that I wasn't into. Some of the radio hits were not my thing, but I like respected her as somebody, you know, she's doing cool stuff. I was not ready for that record. That record messed me up. It was so good. And yeah, there was probably like a month, you know, I would say, oh, I think I'll listen to something else. And I'd put it on and be, man, this is okay, but it's not Fiona Apple, is it? It just isn't. That's all I want to hear.
Trying to be your friend, I thought it was then, but it wasn't genuine. I was just so furious, but I couldn't show you, cause I know you, and I know what you can do, and I don't want a war with you, I won't afford it. You get sore even when you win, and you maim when you're on offense, but you kill when you're on defense, and you've got them all convinced that you're the means and the end. All the VIPs and PYTs and wannabes, afraid not being your friend. And I've always been too smart for that, but you know what, my heart was not. I took it like a kid, you see. The cool kids voted to get rid of me. I'm ashamed of what it did to me, what I let get done. It stole my fun, it stole my fun. Fetch the bolt cutters, I've been in here too long. Fetch the bolt cutters, I've been in here too long. Fetch the bolt cutters, I've been in here too long. Fetch the bolt cutters.
From KXCI in Tucson, this is the Captain's Log Project. I'm Amy A. You just heard the title track of Fiona Apple's 2020 album, Fetch the Bolt Cutters, which our guest CJ Boyd listened to during the pandemic. Coming up next, CJ talks about dating during a pandemic, the Fight for 15 ballot initiative, and how he feels about the future.
First of all, what's the strangest thing about it is that you have to find the balance between getting to know somebody, and like you don't know this person yet, and you're still just getting to know them, and then also trusting them with your life. And that's a weird combination, right? So there's like, you know, once you decide to breach that 6-foot barrier, if you decide, okay, this is a person that I'm going to hang out with, and not only masked, not only 6 feet apart and outside, but we're going to actually maybe touch each other, which is a perk of dating, hopefully, you know, at some point you get to that point. And if you do that, then you're crossing this line into now I am going to trust that this person is going to be totally honest with me about their behavior, that they're going to be transparent about what risks they are or are not taking. And that's a big leap. It's not a normal part of dating. I mean, sure, in the larger picture, yes, but not in this, like, if this person just turns out to be kind of forgetful and forgets to tell me that they went to some event, you know, and were around other people, that could be the difference between my life and death. So that's just weird and scary. But that's sort of, I think, where we find ourselves if you're going to try to have any kind of dating life. I can't imagine what dating outside of dating apps looks like right now. I mean, I'm sure that's a thing, but I really have no idea. I've used dating apps for years, but I mean, it's a different, yeah, now it just seems like that's the only game in town, you know. Even in places like Texas where things didn't really ever shut down fully, the people hanging out at bars are not people I want to meet, frankly. You know, like, if you're hanging out in public places, then I know right there we have something not in common. It's going to be a deal breaker for me. So yeah, trying to meet folks online, but then I feel like one of the things that kind of develops is your ability to weed out the people that are just not going to really be a good match anyway. And one of the things is, like, I feel like as time went on, I got better at not just saying, so, like, are you being careful? Are you taking precautions? But asking really specifically, like, so what kind of things aren't you doing or are you doing right now because of COVID, right? Because sometimes people will say, oh, yeah, I'm being really careful. Well, do you eat at restaurants? Well, yeah. Okay, well, then we have different ideas of what it means to be careful right now. And I should say I'm vaccinated now. I got vaccinated. Got my second shot a few weeks ago, and still I'm not really going outside of. I mean, the only difference for me now being vaccinated is that there's a few people that I will hang out with that are also vaccinated, and like we'll maybe have a porch hang without masks. We're way past needing a $15 minimum wage. There is a national conversation around it. I do think we can do it. The real challenge is, because of the pandemic, it's just harder to collect signatures right now. If this was normal times, I wouldn't even be worried about it. It'd just be fine. The basic bill is pretty straightforward, right? We just want to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. There are some other things in the bill that I think are really important. For instance, this bill will create a Office of Wage Enforcement, which is a really important thing that definitely the federal bill that we were trying to pass this year does not include. And wage theft is huge. Wage theft accounts for more theft than all the other kinds of theft in America combined. And wage theft is any time a boss doesn't pay their employer what they're legally required to, either because of their contract or because of what the minimum in that state is. there's so much of it happening, but there's no enforcement of it happening, or next to no enforcement of it happening. So this would actually create an office here in Tucson where folks can file complaints and say, yeah, my boss is still paying me $10 an hour, even though it's supposed to be $15 now. It's also can be done in an anonymous way so that folks can file a complaint without worrying about backlash from their employer. That also helps folks who are undocumented or who are worried about, you know, being that backlash affecting their legal status. There's a number of other just worker protections that are involved in that are like clauses with the law that helps people not get ripped off from their bosses. We need to gather about 30,000 signatures. We legally need about 15,000. There's a whole process by which, like, after we gather the signatures, the people who don't want us to pass this bill will spend gobs and gobs of money on lawyers to try to invalidate as many of our signatures as possible to disenfranchise folks, right? So you sign the petition, you want it to be on the ballot. There will be people whose job it is to try to get your signature thrown off because you went outside the lines in your signature, or because you didn't put the address of where you were actually registered to vote, or because you wrote Willie instead of William, because, you know, what's on your voter registration is William, but you go by Willie. And right now, I'd say we're about 10%. We have to be ramping up. We only have until the end of June. July 2nd is the official date. Yeah, so we still have a lot to do in a pretty short amount of time. And so that's why it's going to be just all hands on deck. Anybody who, if you care about this, if you want to help out, if you can, even if it's 2 hours a week, great. If it's 3 hours every other week, great. You know, we'll implement something. You know, we'll get you involved in any way we can. My transition from being a full-time musician to being full-time, you know, organizer / you know, campaigner had a lot to do with Trump getting elected. And I think realizing, okay, I've always known we had work to do, but God, we have a lot of work to do. And that probably can't just keep hoping that somebody else will do that work. I probably need to get involved as well. Of course, I'm relieved that Trump isn't the president anymore. I think just having a human being who's not just a megalomaniac, it's going to be already, like, that's so much better. That said, Biden was never, I never had any hopes that Biden was going to be like our savior, that we're going to, everything's going to be fine now. The pandemic has made it abundantly clear that healthcare is social, that if I'm fine, but nobody around me is fine, I'm not fine. And so in a pandemic, we're only as safe as our neighbors. There's no reason that it should all be based on a couple of companies making a ton of money. So we have a lot of work to do. We still have a long ways to go. I mean, right now my focus is raising wages here in Tucson, but I think around climate justice and around Medicare for All and like some of these key issues, we have lots of work to do.
From KXCI in Tucson, this has been the Captain's Log Project. Thank you to CJ Boyd for joining me on the show today. If you'd like to learn more about CJ and the Fight for 15 initiative, listen to this or any past program, or find out how to be on the show, please go to kxci.org/programs and click on the Captain's Log Project. I'm Amy A., signing off. I'll see you next week. Live long and prosper.